Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap-Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
Hello, welcome to the wrap up for Thursday, January 20th, 2011. I'm your host, $2 Bill Josh. Tom had some things he had to do with the show today, so he's not able to join us. We're going to jump right into the NBA. Last night, the Phoenix Suns beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 106-98. Players of the game for the Phoenix Suns, Grant Hill, 27 points, 12 rebounds, and 2 assists. And for Cleveland, J.J. Hickson, 16 points, 15 rebounds, and 2 assists. J.J. Hickson, for those of you who don't follow the Cavs, is a guy being asked to replace LeBron James. The Phoenix Suns improved to 19-21. The Cleveland Cavaliers fall to 8-33. The New Jersey Nets beat the Utah Jazz last night 103-95. Naren Williams had 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 10 assists for the Jazz. Brooke Lopez had 20 points and 4 rebounds for the Nets. The Nets improved to 11-31. The Jazz fall to 27-15. Orlando 99, Philadelphia 98. Lou Williams had 19 points, 17 rebounds, and 4 assists. For the 76ers, Shamir Nelson had 16 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists for the Orlando Magic, who improved to 27-15. The 76ers fall to 17-24. Celtics 86, Pistons 82. Greg Monroe had 13 points, 9 rebounds, and 1 assist for the Pistons. Paul Pierce had 22 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists for the Celtics. Boston improves to an Eastern Conference best, 32-90. Detroit falls to 15-27. They continue to fall farther and farther out of the playoff picture in the East. Hornets 103, Grizzlies 102. Rudy Gay had 22 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists for the Grizzlies. Chris Paul had 20 points, 3 rebounds, and 12 assists for the Hornets. The Hornets improved to 27-16, and the Grizzlies fall to 19-23. It was the Washington Wizards 100, the Milwaukee Bucks 87. Andre Blatch had 23 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists for the Wiz. Corey Maggette had another strong game with 21 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists for the Milwaukee. They improved to 15-24. The Wizards fall to 12-28. It was the Rockets 104, the New York Knicks 89. Kevin Martin had 21 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists for the Rockets. Amari Stoudemire had 20-plus points for the 26th consecutive game with 25 points, 5 rebounds, and 1 assist. As the Rockets improved to 20-23, and the Knicks fall to 22-19. It was the NBA best San Antonio Spurs 104, the Toronto Raptors 95. Players of the game for the Raptors, DeMar DeRozan, 28 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist. And for the San Antonio Spurs, DeJuan Blair, 22 points, 11 rebounds, and 1 assist. As the Spurs improved to 36-6, and the Raptors fall to 13-29. It was the Dallas Mavericks snapping their 6-game losing streak with the 109-100 victory over the L.A. Lakers. Kobe Bryant had 21 points, 4 rebounds, and 10 assists for the Lakers. Jason Kidd had 21 points, 2 rebounds, and 10 assists for the Mavericks as they improved to 27-14. The LA Lakers fall to 31-13. It was the Denver Nuggets 112 and the Oklahoma City Thunder 107. Russell Westbrook had 28 points, 3 rebounds, and 10 assists for the Thunder. Carmelo Anthony had 35 points, 7 rebounds, and 1 assist as the Nuggets improved to 24-17. The Thunder fall to 27-15. It looks like Carmelo Anthony will not be going to the New Jersey Nets. He'll either be traded to the New York Knicks or will finish the season in Denver. It was the Portland Trailblazers 94 and the Sacramento Kings 90. Nicholas Batum had 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists for the Blazers. Beno Udrow had 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists for the Kings. Portland improves to 23-20. The Kings fall to 9-31. It was the Golden State Warriors 110, the Indiana Pacers 108. Danny Granger had 32 points, 13 rebounds, and 6 assists for the Pacers. Monta Ellis had 36 points, 5 rebounds, and 6 assists for Golden State. As the Indiana Pacers fall again to called the 16-23. Warriors improved 18-23. The Pacers are 16-23. They're falling farther and farther and farther down the Eastern Conference rankings. At this point in time, they would be the ninth seed, which means they would be on the outside of the playoffs looking in. Something needs to change with the Indiana Pacers. There's something missing. I'm not quite sure what it is. They have a nice young nucleus. They have some veterans, you would think. They would be a better team. Mike Dunleavy is hoping to make his first NBA playoff appearance. He's been in the league for 9 years and never made the NBA playoffs. Danny Granger is hoping to make it back to the NBA playoffs. He made it as a rookie, and he has not returned since. I look for the Indiana Pacers to start making some trades and maybe a coaching change here in the next couple of weeks before they fall completely out of the playoff picture. Pacers are a nice young team. They play hard. They're not getting it done at the moment. Golden State is an improving team in the Western Conference. They will not make the playoffs this year. Probably not next year, but they are improving. And in the other game, NBA game of the night, it was the LA Clippers 126, Minnesota 111. Kevin Love had 26 points, 11 rebounds, and 1 assist for the T-Wolves. Blake Griffin had 29 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. As the Clippers improved to 16-25, Minnesota falls to 10-33. Blake Griffin, as you may remember the other day, scored an NBA season high 47 points against the Indiana Pacers. Tonight in the NBA at 8 p.m. on TNT, it's the Mavericks and the Bulls, and at 10:30, it's the Clippers and the Blazers. Moving over to the NCAA side of things. Number one, Ohio State improved to 19-0 with a 70-48 victory over the Iowa Hawkeyes. For the Ohio State Buckeyes, David Leidy had 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Before Iowa, Andrew Brommer had 12.6 rebounds and 2 assists. That game was played in the Value City Arena in Columbus, Ohio, and the game played in the KFC Yum Center in Louisville, Kentucky. Number 19 in Louisville improved to 15-3 with the 88-63 win over St. John's, who falls to 11-6. For Louisville, Preston Knowles had 25 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. And for St. John's, Paris Horn had 13 points, 4 rebounds, and 0 assists. And the game played at the RBC Center in Raleigh, North Carolina. Number 4, Duke improved to 17-1 with a 92-78 win over the 11-7 North Carolina State Wolfpack. For North Carolina State, Tracy Smith had 19 points, 9 rebounds, and 2 assists. And for Duke, Nolan Smith had 22 points, 2 rebounds, and 6 assists. Duke continues to look like the favorite to win the NCAA championship. In the game played at the Purcell Pavilion at the Joyce Center in South Bend, Indiana, it was number 16, Notre Dame, improving to 15-4 with a 66-58 win over number 25 Cincinnati, who falls to 16-3. For Notre Dame, Tyrone Nash had 13 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. And for Cincinnati, Sean Kilpatrick had 16 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 assist. And the game played at the Charleston Civic Center in Charleston, West Virginia. It was number 21 West Virginia, falling to 13-5. Marshall, 75-71. West Virginia falls to 12-5. John Flowers had 16 points, 7 rebounds, and 1 assist for the Mountaineers. Damier Pitts had 25 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists for Marshall. And the game played in Mackey Arena, West Lafayette, Indiana, was number 14, Purdue, improving to 16-3. But the 63-62 win over the Penn State Nittany Lions, who are 10-8. For Purdue, Jawan Johnson had 25 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist. And for Penn State, Jeff Brooks had 19 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. And the game played in the Frank Irwin Special Event Center in Austin, Texas. It was number 10, Texas, improving to 15-3 with a 81-60 win over number 11 Texas A&M, who falls to 16-2. Jordan Hamilton had 27 points, 8 rebounds, and 1 assist for Texas. Chris Middleton had 16 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists for the Aggies. And the game played at the VJOS Arena at the Aztec Bowl. Number 6 San Diego State improves to a school record 20-0 with a 68-55 win over the 10-7 Air Force Falcons. For San Diego State, DJ Gay had 20 points, 2 rebounds, and 3 assists. For Air Force, Tom Fowle had 21 points and 0 rebounds and 0 assists. And the game played in the McKeon Pavilion in Morga, California. It was number 22, St. Mary's, improving to 17-2 with a 67-56 win over San Diego. For St. Mary's, Rob Jones had 18 points, 13 rebounds, and 1 assist. And for San Diego, Darian Norris had 14 points, 2 rebounds, and 3 assists. In top 25 games tonight, IU plays at number 18 Wisconsin at 9 p.m. on ESPN. IU is looking for their second consecutive Big Ten victory. it'll be hard to go to Wisconsin and get a victory against Bo Ryan's Wisconsin Badgers. They are always tough. They're close to an unbeatable at home. Indiana University just lost Maurice Creek for the second straight year in a row, so they are going to have to plug somebody else to the starting lineup, which will further weaken the Indiana bench. That's not good for Coach Crean. He didn't have that much depth on the Indiana bench to begin with. So it'll be a tough rest of the season for the Indiana Hoosiers. And number 20, Washington, takes on number 25, Arizona. Once again, this is your daily wrap-up for Thursday, January 20th, 2011. That was your NBA and NCAA wrap-up. Moving on now to the NFL. Josh McDaniels is the new offensive coordinator for the St. Louis Rams. It should be a great fit. He should continue to develop Sam Bradford, as he had a part in New England in developing Tom Brady. Granted, he was the quarterback coach under Charlie Weiss.
Hello, Josh. It's Tom. How are we doing, buddy?
Hey, Tom. Glad you could join us.
I am so sorry, guys. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I knew that you wouldn't know that I was on the air with you until I let you know I was there. So go right ahead, and then I'll jump right in.
I was just talking about how Josh McDaniels has agreed to be the offensive coordinator for the St. Louis Rams, in a bit of an odd fit, as the Rams are a West Coast team. And he comes from the New England Patriots and is definitely not a West Coast coordinator. Any thoughts on it?
Well, I had not seen that, but it's not surprising to me at all. And I mean, he's got a great quarterback on his team there, Sam Bradford, and you might have already touched on this. And Sam Bradford certainly is very adaptable. I think that it's a good fit. I haven't had a chance to do much research on it. I apologize. It's just been kind of one of those crazy days. But certainly, I think it's a good fit, and we can break it down more on the balance on Saturday.
Well, moving on along farther into the NFL, Tom may or may not have talked about this on the wrap-up yesterday. The Oakland Raiders have hired Hugh Jackson. I sat down, and I'll admit it, I watched the entire two-hour press conference the other day. I have like 85 sports channels, so I happened to get the one they were having it on. Hugh Jackson seems to be a great fit for the Oakland Raiders. The only question I have about it is, how alert is Al Davis? He appeared to be, I don't know, in La La Land. His take on the Oakland Raiders and why he fired Tom Cable. Tom Cable was a liability to the franchise. He did get in trouble a couple of times, but he was well-liked in the locker room. The players really liked Tom Cable. He continues to say he lied to Al Davis without going into further detail. He also thinks that the Oakland Raiders, if they would have made the playoffs this year, would have reached the Super Bowl. So I think the expectations in Oakland may be just a bit unrealistic.
Right. Well, and certainly we've got the entire offseason to talk about that. I don't know how much you've already talked about the games coming up. The Jets and the Steelers and the Packers and the Bears. I did have a chance to break that down in great detail yesterday, Josh. Real quickly, though, let's you and I together talk about the Jets and the Steelers and the Packers and the Bears. I think really Cutler may struggle a little bit against the Packers, but I think at the end of the day that the Packers will come out should be victorious. So let's that's the first game on the agenda. Green Bay Packers and the Bears, the NFC Championship game. Who's going to be in the Super Bowl? Is it going to be the Packers or the Bears, Josh?
I believe it's going to be the Green Bay Packers. They're a team of destiny right now, not to mention they have the best. Going into last Saturday, I thought he was the best young quarterback in football. No, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL, bar nobody. Brady has his rings. Manning has his. Roethlisberger has his. Brees has his. None of them can do what Aaron Rodgers could do. If you watch the game last week, there was plenty of times he had two or three defenders wrapped around him. He still came up with the marvelous play. I think he's the best quarterback in the NFL. I look for the Packers to have a huge, huge day. I don't trust Jay Cutler. Anybody could beat the Seattle Seahawks on any given day. That being said, I don't think the Bears have a chance.
Okay. Well, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday in the wrap-up. The Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers have met 181 times in the NFL's longest-standing rivalry, dating back to 1921. So it is going to be a battle. It is going to be a battle of the offense and the defense. The Bears have the defense, and the Packers have the offense. And you're right, Aaron Rodgers is a tremendous quarterback. I think Aaron Rodgers has written a lot of his legacy this year and is starting to fade out of the Brett Favre shadow. That said, Jay Cutler is also very new to the playoff type situations and is still trying to establish himself. But one thing for sure is that the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers always have a battle against each other. And this is only once that I know of have they played with this much at stake. And Sunday, the Bears host Green Bay in the NFC Championship game. In the first time the two teams have met in the playoffs since December 14th, 1941, the Bears' 33-14 victory over the Packers at that time put them in the NFL title game, and a win Sunday will accomplish a similar feat. While there's sure to be mention of the rivalry between the franchises with a combined 48 Hall of Fame players, the history between the Chicago and Green Bay takes a back seat to a Super Bowl berth on the line. And I just don't think that the Chicago Bears are going to let go of that grip too easily. They've worked too hard for it this season. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. Green Bay had a great season, nothing to be ashamed of. I just think at the end of the day in Chicago at Soldier Field with the Super Bowl on the line, the Bears are going to do everything that they can do to win the game and to go on into the Super Bowl again twice this decade.
I could certainly see that happening. Lovie Smith is just another powerful example of the, kind of like you were talking about last Saturday, everybody who leaves Bill Belichick fails as a head coach. We kind of got into that, whether that means that Belichick's a genius or they are. Mike Tomlin worked for Tony Dungy. He has a Super Bowl victory. Lovie Smith worked for Dungy. He's been to the Super Bowl. Raheem Morris worked for Dungy. He's got the Buccaneers on the way. He's just yet another great head coach to leave Tony Dungy's staff and be successful.
Okay, and like we said, that game will be played at 3 o'clock. Green Bay, Chicago. Who's going to be in the Super Bowl? I think it's going to be the Bears. You think it's going to be the Packers? Temperature is supposed to be 22 degrees there at Soldier Field in Chicago. And so we'll see if there's any snow that's going to be in that way. They certainly have a lot of both teams are used to playing in the snow, so I don't think that that's going to be a big issue there between the Bears and the Packers. And we'll see. So let's move on over to the Jets and Pittsburgh. This is going to be another game it's the offense against the defense. And I just, there again, I think the Steelers have such a huge defense. Three teams, and of the three of the NFL's highest profile quarterbacks, have represented the AFC in the past seven Super Bowls. And I just think that trend continues Sunday when Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't expect the Jets to be too intimidated. As we know, the Jets obviously beat the Colts and beat the Patriots in a 1-2 punch in their second AFC championship game, leaving Roethlisberger Steelers at the last obstacle of their first Super Bowl in 42 years. So I think that the Jets are going to come out and be ready to play, and they're going to certainly have everything put together, and they're going to put together a really good game plan. I just think at the end of the day, they're again at Heinz Field, the Steelers' defense, the Super Bowl berth. It's going to be the Steelers and the Bears in the Super Bowl.
I can certainly see that as a possibility. However, I'm hoping that the New York Jets pull this off because this playoff so far has kind of been a changing of the guard in the NFL. Cutler's had a great game. Rodgers has looked good. Mark Sanchez has looked good. The young guys are stepping up. The older guys are starting to fade off into the glory. The more I read about it, I'm starting to agree with Tom. Manning may come back, but on the other hand, Manning's done going to Super Bowls. he'll come back. He'll have another 3-4 good years here. He's done going to Super Bowls. It's kind of a changing of the guard. It happens, I want to say, every 15 years in the NFL or so. The old guy step apart. Brett Favre filed his retirement papers. Matt Hasselbeck may or may not come back. Brady's starting to look a little shaky. Manny's getting older. I just look for the young guns to continue to take the torches from the older guys, and Ben Roethlisberger is now in his sixth year, so you can no longer label him a young gun because he's been starting for all 6 years. Aaron Rodgers been in the NFL for 5 years because he's only in his third year as a starter, so you can still classify him as a young gun. At the end of the day, I just think the Jets are going to win this game, although I'm a little perplexed. This is the first time in the playoffs the Jets aren't seeing anything. They haven't talked all week. I'm not sure if they're intimidated, if the NFL got on to them, but I don't know if you've noticed, Tom, they're not saying anything this week.
Yeah, and I think that may have something to do with the NFL. Maybe it's just another game plan where they're like, well, everybody's waiting for them to say something. I'm not really sure on what all happened there. But one thing is for sure, come Sunday, the gloves come off, and we'll see what happens when they get into just a good old-fashioned brawl there at Heinz Field to see who goes to the Super Bowl. And we'll certainly keep you posted here on the balance, on the wrap-up. And remember, the balance on Saturday, we will go into great detail and break down both games in very much detail. Jason Hammer is going to join us for the first part of the show, the first 10 minutes or so of the show. He's certainly going to give us his words to the wise on the playoff and system. And we look forward to having Jason on the air with us on Saturday. Now, not too far away, boys and girls, here at The Balance, we are going to be talking about NASCAR. NASCAR, that's right, Sprint Cup is back beginning February 12th. The Daytona Shootout will happen, so we'll keep you abreast on that. And some exciting things are happening here with The Balance and just the different forms of media in which you'll be able to hear us, and we're going to share that with you in the weeks coming. So just to keep that in mind that we are moving to bigger and better media options for you to be able to hear the show, a better sounding show, and a better quality show for you that Josh and I work very hard to bring you each and every week. With about 7 minutes left in the show today, Josh, is there any NCAA basketball, anything to wrap up that we haven't wrapped up before we jump into hockey here real quick?
Now, we've wrapped up the NBA and the NCAA. Just some other NFL news. Tom Brady had foot surgery today. He will be ready for training camp, whether it appears to be, whether that be in June, July. Also, the NFL players went to Congress yesterday and asked Congress to get on their side. Congress has so far refused to do so. Also, it appears that next July, when the NBA Finals are over, the NBA will be on lockout, too. So it could be a very odd fall next year if the NBA and the NFL are both in lockout.
Yeah, and that'll certainly be something that we hope as a fan does not happen. Well, bouncing over to the ice on the NHL today, Buffalo and Boston take the ice at 7 o'clock tonight. First place Bruins battle the Northeast rival Sabres. The last 10 meetings, Buffalo is 6-3-1 and Boston 6-2-2. The season series, they split the first four, each taking a home game and a road game in the last wild 7-6 New Year's Day home win for the Sabres, in which Drew Stafford not only had his second hat trick in as many games against Boston, but scored a third goal with 28 seconds left in regulation to tie it, and then scored again in the shootout. Unfortunately, Stafford will likely not be able to go for a three-peat due to a groin injury. The big story here is both teams have been playing as well as late, division-leading Boston nearly doubling its per-game offense and output month-on-month from December. The Sabres getting it done on the power play, that's when the similarities between the two end. Also, the Penguins take the ice at 7 o'clock. The Devils return home to face the shorthanded Penguins. They, in the last 10 of the series, they are 5-3-2, and New Jersey 4-5-1. In the season series, the third of the six meetings between the clubs this season, Pittsburgh has won the previous two, 3-1 on October 11th in New Jersey, and 2-1 on December 6th in Pittsburgh. Big story here, Sidney Crosby will miss his seventh straight game courtesy of a concussion, but the Penguins will be short-handed even further Thursday because Malkin won't play due to an undisclosed injury. He was being evaluated Wednesday, but Coach Dan Blesma said Malkin is not making the trip to New Jersey. So the Penguins are a little bit short-handed, and the Devils hopefully are looking to come up with a win there in the NHL. Also, Washington and the New York Islanders take the ice at 7 o'clock. Big story here, the Capitals continue to do something few people would have them believe before the season: struggled to score. They rallied from a 2-0 deficit to force an overtime in Philadelphia before losing 3-2. The Caps haven't scored more than three goals in a game in 6 weeks. They figured to get some changes against the Islanders, who surrendered five goals in a 5-2 loss in the NHL's weakest offense, the New Jersey Devils, on Monday, and allow a nearly 33 shots a game. With the Capitals, frustration is growing in Washington. We're getting two goals in 40 seconds in the third period was good enough to produce the 1 point, but not two. The Caps were dominated for much of the night in Philadelphia before an overtime goal gave the Flyers a 3-2 win. So we'll certainly keep you abreast on that. And also, all of the scores and all of the play-by-play action you can catch right here on The Balance and on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. We want to hear your comments on Facebook. Just go to Facebook, search The Balance, and post your comments there as well. Well, Josh, we're coming into the two-minute warning. Take us through the two-minute warning real quickly.
There's plenty of good NBA action going on tonight. The Mavs play the Bulls. The Clippers play the Blazers. There's plenty of hockey going on. IU plays Wisconsin. IU desperately needs a win. Or the seat that Tom Crean's sitting on is going to continue to get a little bit hotter. I was talking to some IU fans yesterday from Bloomington, and the city of Bloomington starting to feel that Tom Crean's running out of, we're still rebuilding excuses.
Okay. Ben, caller, I saw that we had a caller here on the line. I apologize we didn't get to you. Certainly give us a call back tomorrow or on Saturday's show, and we will get to you. Unfortunately, once we hop into the two-minute warning, we cannot take calls, but we'll certainly make sure that we'll get you on the air tomorrow or on Saturday. And we do appreciate all your calls. And mark this number down, 917-889-8516, and you can call and be on the show at any time. Well, my name's Tom. Josh, I appreciate you taking the torch first thing part of the show today. I'm so glad that you guys could join us. My name's Tom, and right alongside me, as usual, is $2 Bill Josh, and you've been wrapped up.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was gonna say, son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's all, folks.